Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about having a burden-free life. You know, people are always conscious about this or that, you know, and they order caffeine-free coffee and caffeine-free Cokes and all of that. Now, the scripture doesn't mention anything about caffeine-free, but it does have a lot to say about being burden-free. You know, it's interesting that some of the same people that are so interested and so conscious about what they eat and drink, they don't have anything to say about their attitude or their spiritual well-being. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 in the King James says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And the NIV reads like this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Care and anxiety, care with it a connotation of fear and worry and concern. Now, every one of us have to deal with burdens, cares, worries, anxieties. We all do. We all have to deal with that. And then sometimes people feel like nobody cares and that they're all alone. Well, what should we do with our cares, our anxieties, our burdens, so to speak? We need to throw them over on the Lord. It says, cast your burdens. Isn't that what it said? Yeah. Is that what 1 Peter 5:7 said? Yeah. Casting all your care on him. Actually, cast there carries with it the attitude of to throw off, throw aside, throw away. That's what cast means. Now, as we look at this 1 Peter 5:7 in some other translations, Moffat's translation says, let all your anxieties fall on him. The Williams translation says, cast every worry you have upon him. Cast, throw. Throw it up on God. Throw it on him. The Knox translation, throw back on him the burdens of your anxiety. The Amplified version, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. I like that. Once and for all. Now, some people say, well, I'm trying. It didn't say try. Did the Bible say try to cast your cares? What did it say? Cast. Do it. Didn't say try. You know, some people say, I'm trying. You know, you need to do it. Just don't try to do it. Do it. The Bible says, cast all of your care on him. Now, some people say, well, I just wished I could. I wish I could get rid of this burden. You know, I just can't do it. I just can't quit worrying about this. See, because that's what you do. When you have care and anxiety, you worry, and that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to have peace. But now, if some people say, I just can't do it, if you couldn't cast your care on him, why would he tell you to do it? He would not tell you to do something that you can't do. Hello? You know, many times people want to argue with the Word of God. Say, well, I just can't do that. If he said you could, you can't. Hello? Let's just think about that. Have you ever heard people and you're talking to them about something about the Bible and they say, I just can't do that? You ever heard anybody say that? Yeah. Well, I got two people raise their hands. Thank you for those two hands. I appreciate that. But if the Bible says you can, if God says you can, then you can. You just have to do it. Amen. You know, in my own life and ministry, man, I have to do this all the time. Man, I had to practice it on a regular basis. You know, when you are the head of a worldwide ministry, you've got 209 Bible schools in 46 nations. You have over 2,500 churches here in the U.S., not counting what's in the overseas. And, you know, you have television, you have all of these things. You got church campus here and the church in Broken Arrow. I tell you what, it can get a little bit worrisome. Hello? But I have to practice. Let me tell you what. You have to choose to cast your care on him. You have to choose to do it. You know, God will not come into your life and override your free will. You have a free will to make choices for yourself. Man, if God could override the free will of everybody, he'd just have everybody get saved today and we'd be gone out of here tomorrow and go to heaven tomorrow and the rapture would take place. No, we have a choice. Do you understand that many people have made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they've never accepted God as their provider, as their healer, as their peace? You know, there's a lot of people that go to church that are born again. Some of them spirit-filled Christians, but they're carrying burdens around with them all the time because they've never chosen to do what God says do, and that's cast your care on him. You know, my dad used to tell this story from World War II. If y'all don't know, the ones of you that don't know about World War II, the Germans would come over every night and bomb London. And so they'd sound the air raid sirens, and people would go to the shelters and so forth. And so they started missing this one lady. And maybe she got killed with a bomb or something. And so they went looking for her and they found her and they said, "Well, where have you been the last three nights when the sirens went off? You didn't come to the bomb shelter." She said, "Well, I read in the Bible where God never slumbers or sleeps, and I didn't think that both of us need to stay awake." Well, that may be a little extreme, but she was putting her trust in God. Hello? You know, speaking of that, then the U.S., the England and the U.S. started flying out of England back into Germany. And we have a man he turned 98 this past week in our congregation, Woody Reynolds. He flew 52 missions in a B-17 flying over Europe. And he just went out the door this morning. I shook hands with him this morning as he went out the door. But I try to honor him all the time because... you know, if it wasn't for the military in World War II, all you young people don't know it, but we'd either be speaking German or Japanese, one of the two. Because we had one on this side coming at us and one on this side coming at us. But we prevailed. Hallelujah. Just like you need to prevail. The enemy is coming at you all the time. He is coming at you with everything that he can throw, every burden, everything he can throw on top of you. But you have to decide whether you're going to carry the burden or whether you're going to let him carry it. You have to take the first step to get rid of your burden. Actually, God's already done everything he's going to do about you getting rid of your burden and having a burden-free life, because Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died on the cross for our salvation. And then he said in the word of God, cast your care on him. You know, we have to throw off and cast aside our cares. Now, somebody said, "Well, I don't know about that. I just feel like nobody cares." You need to know God cares. God cares about you. That's why he told you to cast your cares on him, because he cares about you. You know, when we look at the first part of 1 Peter 5:7 and several translations, the latter part, excuse me, already looked at the first part. Let's look at the latter part. Now, as we read it there from the from the King James, it says, for he careth for you. And NIV said, because he cares for you. But the 20th century New Testament, he makes you his care. The Beck translation, he takes care of you. The Phillips translation, you are his personal concern. See, God cares about you. He cares about what happens to you. He cares about all of your life. You know, if we would just learn to let him take care of us, he cares about us. Other translations say, his great interest is you. Another one says, you're his charge. In other words, he's responsible for you. Another says, he's concerned for you. Another translation says, he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Well, you know, I began to look at this, and God cares about us. He cares about everything we do. And, you know, I said, okay, God, if you care about everything we do, I am in a hurry. I've got this to do and this to do and this to do, but I got to go here to this store. And I thank you. You care about me. Now I thank you for a parking place right up front. Now, a lot of people laugh at me when I say that and when I do that. But do you know what? He cares enough. He gives me a parking place. And because you got to believe that he cares, and then you have got to act on it. Yeah, he demonstrated his care for all humanity when he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. That's how much he cared for us. He sent his son. He cared for us so much that he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance or enabled them to. It would be a better translation than a modern translation. He cares enough about us that he said he would never leave us alone. He cares enough about us that he said that he would give us peace in the midst of the storm. He said, I'll give you a peace that nobody can understand. Yes. You see, he wants to help us to overcome our tests, our trials, our tribulations, our concerns. The Holy Spirit is sent to lead us and to guide us. And we have the supernatural power of God available to us. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. What's he talking about? The power of God that dwells inside of you is greater than the influence of the world. He cared enough about us that he provided healing for us through his stripes on his back. You know, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you might be healed. Huh? Is that what it said? By his stripes, if he's in a good mood, whenever you ask him, he might heal you. By his stripes, you were healed. You know, that people can read that and they don't even get it. Were. Anybody go to school and take English? I have two people raise their hand. I took English, I know, and I took English in college, I know, English comp, and I still don't speak like I should. I had all kinds of speech classes and homiletics classes and all of that kind of stuff, and I still don't. Now, I can, if you want me to, I can do what I was taught. Now, God loves you so much, he wants to take care of you and to bless you and to heal you. Got to get the right hand movements. That's what they teach you in the homiletics class about doing a sermon. Is that right, Brother John? Brother John knows. But you know, after they taught some of that, then my homiletics professor got up one day after he had taught all that kind of, he had taught this. And he said, "Now that's what they say you're supposed to do." But boys, because we didn't have any ladies in our class, Dr. Fred Williamson, I never forget. He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "You can put on a professional voice and you can do all the everything right. But," he said, "if you don't connect with the people and they get a hold of what you're saying, you might as well just sit down and not say a word." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "Just be real. Be yourself." And so that's what I am. I just be real. I'm just me. And when you see me up here, it's the same thing you'll see me anywhere I'm at. That's just the way I am. But by his stripes, you were. That means if we were, then we are. Because that's past tense. If I still remember my English correctly, past, present, and future tense. Is that right? Well, and they took it down, didn't they? If you were, that's past tense, isn't it? Then if you were something, if you were something, you have been healed. That's NIV version. I was quoting the King James version. But the NIV says, by his wounds you have been healed. The other says you were. This says you have been. That's past tense too. You have been. If you have been, then you are. Well, then why am I not healed? Because you're not taking advantage of it. Why are you still all burdened down? Because you're not taking advantage of it. Psalms 55:22 in the NIV says, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." God will sustain. What's sustain mean? Keep, uphold, take care of. That's what sustain means. The key to God's sustaining power is for you to cast a burden on him. That's the key right there. Quit worrying. You do the casting and let him do the worrying. Or I should say it another way. You do the casting and let him do the sustaining. Let him take care of it. Be the better way to say it. But see, I wanted to say it the other way, so get everybody's attention. Sometimes in public speaking, you say something one way to get everybody's attention, then you come back, okay? God cares enough about you that he said he would supply your needs. Yeah. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." See, we need to realize that he cares about us enough to take care of us. That's what I've been, through this whole thing, that's what I've been saying. In the midst of believing God about your needs, you have to obey the Word of God. You have to obey the Word of God. See, a lot of people are quoting this verse of Scripture, but they're not doing what the Bible says. They're not paying their tithes or giving offerings. Now, I'm not going to get up here and try to take, you know, say a bunch about it, but that's what the Bible says. All I'm doing is telling you to do what the Bible says. If you do what the Bible says, God will take care of you. He also says in another place to be responsible, have a job. He said in one place, Paul's writing, he said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Be responsible. Now, you know, you start teaching like that and you get a lot of people upset at you. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible said. I didn't say it. You don't argue with somebody, go argue with God. Don't argue with me. I just told you what the Bible said. But you see, we have to be persistent in casting your care. You can't cast your care and then turn around and pick it up. I've seen a lot of people do that. They pick the care back up, start being all worried about it. You know, when I was in the Army, I was training in the Army, man, we had that backpack on, had all our stuff in it. Then we had that that half of a tent rolled up, hooked on it. So you get with another guy, and y'all, he's got a tent half, and you got a tent half. You put them together, and you got a place to get under to sleep. And you got a little spade shovel on there. I don't know what they do now. That's when I was in. It's 60s, so I don't know what they have now. But I'll tell you what, that thing was heavy. And you marching out through there, and you got your weapon, and you marching. And finally, they call a halt to it, and they said, we're going to take a 15-minute break or a 10-minute break. And, man, you never felt so good just to jump and let that thing fall, because that's what you do. If you just do like that, it's so heavy, it'll just fall right off. You just let it fall off. Man, it felt so good. Whoa, boy, you'd walk around, stretch a little bit. It felt so good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I got some people here, been there, done that. But, you know, we need to learn to do the same thing. Instead of carrying those burdens, we need to let God have them, and then we can just walk free, burden free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God taking care of that situation. Hello. You know, but it has to be consistent. It's not an off and on situation. You know, some people say, well, okay, God, I can carry this, but I can't. That one's too heavy, so you carry it. No, I'll give him all of them. Amen. Hello? Amen. Consistent. Learn to rest in the Lord. You know, when you're burden free, you can rest. When you're carrying burdens, it's not restful. It's stressful. Hello? Amen. Somebody say, well, I'm all stressed out. Well, quit carrying the burden and let God take care of it. So, well, I don't know about that. Hey, I don't know about a lot of things at this ministry. But I'm going to tell you what, if God can't take care of it, I sure can't. So I might as well not worry about it. I just roll it over on him. Some of you are looking at me a little funny. But that's what God wants you to. He wants you to have a burden-free life. He wants you to enjoy life. He says, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. Well, it's not abundant life when you're walking around all burdened down. Hello? We need to be able to walk free and say, thank you, Lord, you're taking care of it. The first thing the enemy going to do is say, well, you know, you sure that's going to get, how's it going to happen? Hey, it doesn't matter how it happens. Your part is to cast the care. God's part is to take care of it. You know, in Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness to shine like the dawn, the just of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before God and wait patiently for him. Don't fret. That's what I want to get a hold of. Don't fret. When you see men succeed in their ways when they carry out their wicked schemes, we don't need to fret about anything. Fretting is the same thing as worrying, and worrying is the same thing as carrying burdens. All right? You can't fret and also trust God at the same time. It's either trust God or you worrying about it all the time. Fretting, worrying is the same thing. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you? Yes. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, God wants us to rest in what he can do. You should do what you can in the natural. Yes, that's understood. We all understand that. But you should never carry the burden of it. That's God's job. See, there's one thing to do what you know to do in the natural, and there's another thing to carry the burden of the thing. I do what's necessary to run the ministry in the natural, but I let God carry the burden of making sure we got all the finances and so forth, the burden of this church, you people. Do you understand that as your pastor, I feel responsibility for you when I am not here. I ask, was so-and-so there? Who was it there? Because I'm concerned about you. That's my responsibility as your pastor, to be concerned about you, to pray for you, to see that you have what is necessary to live the good life with God. That's what my responsibility is as the pastor. I have, how many of you have children and grandchildren? All of us. Mostly. There's a few that don't. Hey, we have a responsibility to those children. I don't care that they're one will be 45 this year and the other will be 41, I guess, this year. Huh?
One will be 46 this year.
Oh, really? And one will be 42. Oh, I'm a year behind. They're still my responsibility as their parent. I got five grandsons. They're my responsibility. Hey, I try to make sure that they're taken care of as best I can. We are God's children. How many of you are God's child? Then he realizes that we're his responsibility. And he tells us how that he says, I'll heal you, I'll save you, I'll heal you, I'll take care of you, I'll protect you, I'll provide for you. He gives us everything. So I want to challenge you today to cast all your care upon him. I want to challenge you to believe that you can live a burden-free life. Now we're going to use the word cast, C-A-S-T, okay? Now, I want everybody to stand, because I'm finished with my sermon, but we're going to do an exercise now. We're going to cast some burdens, okay? The word C, choose to believe what God says, that you can cast your burdens on him. All right. A, ask God to forgive you for worrying, being anxious, and carrying burdens that you should not have been carrying. S, settle in your heart that God cares abundantly for you. T, throw your burdens upon the Lord. Okay. Now, I want everybody to get their hands out in front of them like that. Now, I want you to realize that I want you to, with your mind, in your mind, or you can whisper it, whatever. I want you to put your burdens that you're carrying. I want you to put them right there. Go ahead. Do it right now. Heavenly Father, we are putting our burdens, and we're going to put them on you. Now, say this with me. My burdens are in my hands.
My burdens are in my hands.
I cast them on the Lord. Throw them over on the Lord. Now raise your hands and thank God that you can have a burden-free life, that you can go through life burden-free, not having to worry about stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for a burden-free life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is anybody in this place tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I want to pray with you and for you. Anybody here that needs to rededicate your life to God? I want to pray for you too. Hallelujah. Or anybody that says, I don't know whether I've ever been born again or not. Well, we'll pray for you too. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Anybody here would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand right now. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit? Okay. I don't see any hands. All right. You may be seated. We're going to partake of communion. Let me read from what the Word of God says. From 1 Corinthians 11. Beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We believe in open communion. If you know that you are born again, you're welcome to partake of communion with us. As they're serving you, please hold the communion elements until you're all are served. We'll eat together. Let us sing with our group as we worship our Lord.
And he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be called his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, Lord. Love so amazing. Jesus, Jesus Messiah.
Representing the shed blood. His body was beaten and broken for our physical healing. His blood was poured out on Calvary for our salvation. Heavenly Father, you said as often as we do this, we do show forth his death till he comes. We thank you for salvation. Thank you for healing. And we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our healer, our baptizer. And we give him all the glory and all the praise till he comes again. In his name we pray. Amen. Break and eat. In your own way for just a moment. Talk to you. Thank you, God. Thank God for what what he's done for you, for your salvation, for your healing, for all the blessings that he's given to you. We thank you, Lord. Shall we stand and sing?
Jesus Messiah, he's the name above all names, blessed Redeemer. Rescue for sinners,
you are
the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Thank you, Jesus. I understand there's one person who wants to receive the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, receiving the Holy Spirit is easy if you just do what the Bible says. The Bible says they begin to speak. The Holy Spirit didn't speak. You're going to have to do the speaking. Now, it's going to seem like that you're going to want to say something that's not English. Your mind's going to tell you that's stupid. And you're going to, it's wanting you to stay with English. But whatever those sounds sound like, just blurt them out. And the more you speak, the clearer it will become. You believe you can receive right now? You believe you're going to receive? I want everybody to reach your hands in here. How many of you are spirit filled? You have the Holy Spirit. I want you to begin to speak in the Spirit right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. Open it up, begin to speak. Seem like you won't say something not English, say it. In Jesus, come on, say it. Come on. Receive right now. It's there. Yeah, go ahead, go ahead. You're trying, you're wanting to. Hallelujah. Just go with Greg to the prayer room. I think he would do better when he's not in front of everybody. Hallelujah to Jesus. Sometimes people get a little afraid when they're in front of everybody and they don't want, they freeze up. He was wanting to. You could see his mouth starting to move, but he's a little shy, but that's all right. I've had that happen before. Hallelujah. He'll be go over in the prayer room. He'll get it when he's in there because it was all over him right there just then. It was right there. How many of you remember when you got the Holy Spirit? Amen. Hallelujah. Hardest thing in the world sometimes is to unhook from the mind and hook up with the Spirit. Because your mind keeps telling you, oh, this is silly, this is dumb, but it's not. It's the greatest experience that you'll ever have besides salvation. Hallelujah. Well, shake hands with somebody, and I'm going to go to one door, she's going to the other one, so we'll try to shake hands with all of you if I didn't already shake your hand. Hallelujah. Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, be here. Brother Bob will be speaking. Bring somebody with you, and most of the time, either me or Craig will be here to minister to you. You know, he is the co-pastor with me here, with me and Lynette. So, hey, come believing, come expecting. I'll see you the next time I get to be here, okay? God bless.